You're welcome to remain standing for the reading of the Gospel as we hear this morning from John's Gospel, chapter 10, the first 10 verses. May we listen as if Jesus is present and reading to us this morning. John 10, verse 1. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Maybe you caught in while we sang this last hymn that below on the second page of the hymn, that little snippet by Jean Lambert, taken from Covenant Publications. The gospel is the news of the friendship extended to us by the source of life in all the astonishing fullness of that divine self-disclosure in Jesus. That's a mouthful. But the fullness of the source of life extended to us in the astonishing fullness of that divine self-disclosure in Jesus. It is the news that God's friendship is meant not only for us, but for all creation. It's quite fitting, I think, as we hear these words, abundant life, as Jesus shares in the passage this morning. Will you pray with me? Holy Shepherd, you know your sheep by name and lead us to safety through the valleys of death. Guide us by your voice that we may walk in certainty and security to the joyous feast prepared in your house where we celebrate with you forever. Amen. The story of that, as Jesus shares this morning, comes on the tails and is directly tied to the chapter 9. And if we remember chapter 9 of Acts, it's the man that is born blind. And the community that gathers around and can't quite understand, doesn't capture what has taken place. And this movement within this man that was born blind as he's received sight continues to move as he recognizes Jesus. He doesn't quite see him or doesn't know that that's Jesus in front, but he knows that something happened. And as he sees it, his fullness of his faith continues to grow, and yet the crowd around is pushing back, and Jesus is speaking directly to the Pharisees about the good shepherd, the one that invites in, that tends and cares for this flock, and this image of the shepherd being the gate, and the sheep come in and they go out and they find pasture, this freedom of movement within, but is always under the guard and protection of the shepherd. And the thief comes in to steal and destroy, and we can see those, at times, those thieves in our lives, and sometimes we don't quite know who they are, but they're lurking around. But the fullness of, and this is what I was so keen with this little snippet in the hymnal of the gospel, this friendship of Christ, that is the fullness of the source of life that reaches into our lives and gives us the fullness within, and this abundance is really filled within that last verse of verse 10, or last words of verse 10, where Jesus shares, "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." It's the gospel in brief, and as we kind of peel back the layers a little bit, we hear this story that the very center of this God that loves so deeply that he sent his son, you know, that's the gospel in brief, that we might have a life. And here again, we hear that story of this God that is in Jesus Christ that has come that we might have life and have it abundantly. And we pull back a little bit and we know that there's these voices that compete with this one, that the voices that come in and try to rob us of that life. We peel back a little bit farther and we see that this good shepherd is the one that reaches in and offers abundant life to the full, is the one that invites, that is continually at work, moving towards us, gathering us in, and the one that speaks, and we recognize that voice, and the one that we listen to and we follow. One of the early church leaders, Irenaeus, is the one that said, "The glory of God is seen in a human being fully alive." I've shared that before, but glory being a word of revelation, the fullness of what we see and who God is, the God revealing who God is seen in a human being fully alive. And so as we hear these scriptures this morning, we hear that within Acts of this church that continues to lean into what it looks like to follow this voice and this way. That was what they're known as, the way of Jesus, following this way. As we hear from 1 Peter, recognizing that, yeah, there's challenges along the way. It's not like an easy way out. There's these obstacles that come, that life is full and complicated. There's these hardships that we face along the way, but we stay steadfast in following this good shepherd. And as Jesus points out in John's gospel, this good shepherd is the one that speaks, and we know that voice, the one that provides for us, brings us in, lets us move about in a way that's protected within the world and offers us abundant life. Holding these texts alongside the season that we're in this Easter, reflecting upon the biblical witness, or the Easter season following, this time that we have following the day of Easter, the day of resurrection, is for the church to reflect on the biblical witness concerning the rumors of the resurrection. We've heard about these stories that have taken place. We hear Thomas, who's heard about the other disciples seeing Jesus, but isn't fully entering into the story. Or those that walked alongside Jesus on the Emmaus Road, but couldn't see him walking along with him until he broke bread. That hearing these stories and becoming more full in their lives, they're looking for this proof along the way. And so in this Easter season, we tell these stories of the resurrection, remind ourselves that we too are longing to see the fullness of Jesus when we can't quite see it. But life gets hard along the way too. And so we hear the story again as this good shepherd looking back upon Psalm 23, the one that leads us beside still waters into green pastures, that even sets a table in the presence of our enemies, but knows that is always there to comfort and guide us, to establish us as a people. The good shepherd, as we just sang in the song, King of Love, the one that throws us over his shoulders. We remember in Luke chapter 15 of the one that goes out, leaves the 99 and goes out and rescues this one, the one that is always tending towards us and seeking us out. So hearing these stories in the season of Easter and holding this alongside the good shepherd, we recognize that Jesus, as we follow Jesus' voice as a community of faith, as we listen to this voice as the one that we follow, we also recognize that there are plenty of voices that compete for time or compete for our attention, that kind of distract us along the way from the voice of Jesus that's calling us specifically to a way within the world. a way that is abundant, a way that is life-giving, not only for us, but for the world around us. And so we have this lens as we lean back on this Sunday, looking at this Good Shepherd and the voice that is spoken and the way that that one lives, that we too get to live that out, are challenged in a way to live that out in a world practicing this resurrection life, practicing the way of the disciples as they follow the way of Jesus, as they have traveled with him in his life. And now as Jesus has been resurrected and ascended, that we carry this on as the body of Christ, the hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears, the mouths, to move within the world, sharing of this good news of abundance. So as we reflect on the resurrection stories within Easter, as we are retelling that to remind ourselves of the Christ that is raised and then is also walking with us, and the reality of the life where we look, where we lean into the Good Shepherd, the church in the season also focuses on the community and the storytelling of the people identified in the resurrection. And we read that in Acts. Over the last three Sundays, including today, we've been reading from Acts, hearing the story of the church as the Holy Spirit came down. Peter begins preaching. Many people had turned and were baptized. And the response, like we heard last Sunday, what do we do now? They receive the Spirit through baptism. And the church reflects on the storytelling, reminding ourselves who we are to be in the world. A people that, as we read about in the book of Acts, who are committing themselves to gathering, to breaking of bread, to sharing of their resources as nobody was left out. A people who embodied the resurrected Christ in a way that opened the doors of full living an abundant life as a way centered on who it is to be a follower of Christ. It was generosity and open-handed giving that identified their faith as they listened to the voice, set apart their way in the world, following that voice in the way that Jesus lived and breathed and moved in the world, that they responded also in a way that exemplified all of who that is. And so as we read in the second chapter of Acts, it's captivating to hear the gathering of these people, the story that Peter shares, the life, death, and resurrection, and the sermon that he gives, and the people are just dropped, their jaws are dropped, and they're moved to believe in a community that was surrounded and enlivened by the Holy Spirit as Peter shared the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and then moved, they were moved and baptized in that time. In the light of the resurrection and in the story of all these people being gathered, hearing of the power that is and this Messiah that has come and giving all of who that Messiah is and listening as we do and leaning into that voice, all peoples, Jews, Gentiles, all people, all backgrounds became known as a single community of Christ followers. A scattered unity who told the story of the world that was empowered by the Holy Spirit that moved over the community. And in their awe-inspiring ways, and in their awe-inspiring community, the makeup of them as well was just filled with their own diversity. All people gathered together, rich, poor, different ethnic backgrounds, tall, short, different perspectives on life, the way they viewed the world, the things that they thought were clean to eat or unclean to eat, things that they had been firm in their faith or firm in their upbringing or the ways that they had practiced, began coming together and devoting themselves to the teaching and practices of the apostles. And that the good news of Jesus was lived out in every aspect of their lives. Even where suffering was present or when the valleys of darkness were just very much real in their lives or just encroaching in on them and overcoming them, still God continues to be present and prepare a table to make space, to remind them that God is the one, is the good shepherd that brings them in. Their lives move and about, but God is the one that protects and gathers together and gives them life abundantly. And so Luke gives four acts of this new community called the Way of Jesus, as he shares in his book of Acts at the very end of Peter's sermon. the recognition of the one that is the Messiah, the one that has given life, the one that gives us life, the one that allows us to live life to the full. The response of the community, Peter hones, or the writer Luke hones in on four things that we read this morning. They leaned into the apostles' teachings. They leaned into fellowship with one another. They broke bread. And they prayed. I've probably have been guilty of saying this in my life, and I've heard other people say this as well, and I've also been reminded of it, that when either I have said or someone else has said, we need to get back to what it's like to be the early church. It sounds really good, and we want to lean into these early practices, maybe at the very elemental pieces, the way of following Jesus and these four things here, but we read the book of Acts, and we read the letters of Paul and others, and we read through the New Testament. We recognize that the early church was not all that cut and dry, clean and fine. That within them and within our book of Acts, that we too see the quarrels that come out and how they try to navigate disagreements, or they recognize that, yeah, there's these communities that just weren't fulfilling what they need to do. I mean, that's one of the ones that we recite every time that we have communion, is Paul's letter to the church in Corinth and saying, like, you are excluding people as you gather at the table. And Paul reminds them of what it looks like on the night that Jesus was betrayed. He took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and he gave it. As an opportunity for us to come back and to be renewed and to be centered once again at what is very elemental pieces of who we are and who we need to be in the world. I think that's what Luke gets to in this one verse, in this chapter 2, verse 42 in Acts. This is the response of the community amidst all that has taken place, of all the change that has taken place. Of Jesus that has lived and died, and they know him, and is resurrected and has ascended and has left the work of Christ to be with us, the way, the church, to move in the world. This is how they began forming themselves, by leaning into the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer. And if we could just look at the four of these for just a brief moment. And on the back of our bulletin, there's a little section underneath our address and above our announcements. And maybe this is a place where you would like to just pencil in what's standing out to you as we hear these four things this morning. And maybe what you need to lean into, or something you can do this week to live into it. The apostles' teaching. This is that great work of passing on the tradition of the apostles from one generation to the next, of living into the fullness of God's word and God's ways as has been ordained or has been constructed by Jesus as the disciples were gathered around and they got to see who Jesus was, and they passed that on in the ways of the church going forward. It's a teaching that embodies the way of Jesus and how Jesus moved within the world, the gift that Christ continues to give as a fulfillment of the law and the prophets. It's all, as we would say, within the covenant church, and the covenant church is just one voice of the many churches that are gathered together, that we have always recognized as a covenant church and affirmed that the Bible is the Word of God and the only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct. And all scripture is inspired, as we reminisce on Paul's words as well. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching and reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness. That we use scripture in such a way that it is a gift for us, that it continues to share who we are to be within the world. There's disagreements in how we interpret Scripture, how we read it, but as covenanters, we are reminded that we read it together, because we never do that in isolation, because then it becomes just part of ourselves. We read Scripture together amidst our diversity to recognize that there's maybe some insight that we gather from one another, that the Spirit moves in ways that we can be honed by one another as well. And in learning and reciting and reading and reflecting upon the apostles' teachings as we read about through Scripture and hearing and practicing the ways of the church, that we too continually revisit. We don't read Scripture once and are done, but we continue to revisit it so that we are continually reframed, reestablished, renewed as we hear it. We are correcting ourselves on things that we may have been listening to something else or kind of moving a couple steps away. It's like, oh yes, this is what Scripture is reminding me to live into once again. This is what Scripture is shaping within me. And this is what this community is doing. They're leaning into the apostles' teaching. It's C.S. Lewis that reminds me, and I've shared it again here too, and hopefully reminding us that as Christians, we need to be reminded more often than instructed. And so we remind ourselves. We read it over and over again. I just love the gathering of that Ray has begun with the Bible reading group as they read through this immersed Bible reading of just hearing once again the story and gathering around the story once again, revisiting, relearning, renewing themselves through that, a practice that we can all live into as we have Scripture shaping us in our lives. And that leads to the second one, is if we can gather around the Word and reading the Word together, it's a reminder that we don't ever do and live our faith alone. Of course, our faith is personal. We have that peace that we have that shapes us, that God speaks to us, but it's never private. It's never alone. It's never our own deal within the world, that we do this sharing with one another. And that's what Luke mentions as the second, this fellowship. That they gathered together, leaned into the apostles' teachings, into fellowship. Maybe that's this Sunday morning. Maybe it's the coming to sing once again, to hear Scripture read together in community once again. Maybe it's the offering prayers that we have for one another, this gathering into the space. Maybe what's really needed for you on a Sunday morning is a little bit of this that we do inside the sanctuary, but maybe it's sitting around the table and having cookies and coffee. And recognizing that in that storytelling, in that sharing, we hear the pieces of our own lives that we get to share with one another. That recognition that our lives can continue to move past of people of faith, just what happens for 1 hour on a Sunday morning, but what happens in the back of the sanctuary or when we leave this sanctuary as well. And how that fellowship continues to build within us as people of faith and who we are to be. That by worship, that our worship can be more than just what happens on a Sunday morning. But last Sunday, as a few of us gathered and picked up trash in the Lincoln Park neighborhood, that's an opportunity for fellowship as well, this gathering together. Or meeting with inside our homes, inviting someone for dinner, meeting someone outside at a restaurant, this gathering together and sharing. But the caution is always, whenever we gather together, is to recognize what is, or do we have a limit on what our fellowship looks like? It doesn't mean we need to be exhaustive or exhausting, but what does the fellowship look like? Do we only let certain people in? Do we only allow ourselves to meet with certain people? Is it too challenging to meet with another? Christianity has never been an individualistic religion. Christianity has always been this way that has continued to be the body of Christ within the world, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the community of saints, that we recognize that even amidst the diversity that we have, that we gather together and we fellowship together amidst that, to recognize that that's how life is lived and how we better ourselves. It's not apart from what the early church was like either. They were very much diverse in who they were. But they continue to live this out, to continue to fellowship, to continue to gather together, recognizing that's where the fullness of where God is being seen. And they broke bread. John Wiborg, Reverend Dr. John Wiborg, my seminary professor, would always remind us that there's more to a meal than food. As First Covenant, we love to eat together. I just love to eat, but we love to eat together. This opportunity to share around a table of story, of life, little bits of here and there, a little bit of whatever's taking place in our lives, but there's always more than just what's happening or than what the meal is. There's always more than what's taking place. And we read this in the life of Jesus as well, who continues to extend grace at the Lord's Supper that we gather in and we share. But we also recognize this in the way that Jesus ate with others. If Luke is writing Acts, and we can just look back just at the book of the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus, the one who sees this tax collector climb up in this tree, the one that couldn't peer over the crowd, the one that was probably not welcome to join into the crowd. And Jesus sees him and says, "Zacchaeus, come down, and I'm coming over to eat at your house." And he goes and he eats with the tax collectors and is recognized as one that eats with sinners. Or Jesus, who eats with Pharisees and recognizes that this table is really a closed table, and this woman comes in and starts washing Jesus' feet with her tears and drying her tears from his feet with her hair. And the Pharisees are giving her one of these. And Jesus is reframing that situation, saying, "No, this table, there's more that what we need to do within what Jesus is doing within the world, the way that God's kingdom works within the world, to welcome them in." And it happens again and later in Luke, as there's Jesus is also eating at a table with Pharisees and sees someone that is in need of healing, and it's a Sabbath, and Jesus reframes again, is it wrong to heal on the Sabbath? Is it better to let this person go on ill, or to maybe recognize that healing and wholeness takes place on the Sabbath as well, and is opening up this idea of what fellowship looks like. And then relying on the generosity of strangers, of moving into the space and relying on their hospitality, that's the importance of gathering around and breaking bread. And of course, as we read on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus is walking with these two the whole time, and they share and they pour out their heart to him and say, "Oh, it's horrible. The one that we thought would come, the one that we had hoped in, had died." And they enter into this house, and Jesus takes bread in this rhythm that he does as he dines with people. He gives this, it's four steps along the way. He takes the bread, and he thanks God for it, and he breaks, and he gives. And in that, their eyes were opened. There's more to a meal than food. And then finally, they gathered in prayer. This is that communion with God. All of us have prayer that looks completely different from one another. And in prayer, we recognize that we give ourselves to God and receive God fully. We offer praise, or we plead for mercy and justice. We express our trust, and we listen for God's voice in our lives. All of it through prayer, we recognize that we are not the voice that moves within the world, that we rest upon who God is, and how we enter into and be in communion with God. Part of that is through confession. On a Sunday morning, it's partly through the pastoral prayer or joining in together in the Lord's Prayer. Some of it is that silent prayer that we have. Maybe it's in the morning. Maybe it's we're sitting in rush hour traffic. Not that there's rush hour traffic in Duluth. But if we're sitting and we're waiting, we offer these prayers. Or maybe it's a point of complete loss and we offer up prayer, "God, come help now." Or in response, "God, thank you, thank you, thank you." But prayer is also recognition that we move in a way in such a world in relying upon who God is, that we too are part of this prayer by being able to respond within the world as well. That when we offer our thoughts and prayers, that we are also the ones and agents that move within the world that get to enact what that prayer looks like in the world around us. As a gathering way to gather people in, to reflect upon what it looks like to be followers of Christ. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly." Have it to the full. I sit at the gate, and you come in, and you can move out, and you can find pasture. I'm making space for you, and it's good, and it's abundant. And as a church, we get to live that out as we practice it. Maybe in these four simple things as maybe a beginning to what it looks like. to listen and lean in deeply to the teachings that the apostles give as a way of Jesus, to remind ourselves of the importance of gathering together in fellowship and noting that that fellowship is for all, and breaking of bread, and that there's more to a meal than just food, and being steadfast and committed in prayer, and being a life that lives out our prayer in the world. May this be our invitation and our work. May this be our way into abundant life. Amen.